Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harker coming your way and glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time. You've tuned me in either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we now stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.FM. You tuned me in either by the way of Ionia, I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. Some of you tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we now stream both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Internet radio, those of you that's tuned me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock, I welcome you. Some of you tune me in by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. You go to messages from the Lighthouse where it says storage of the messages, and then you just click on that, and it takes you right to my storage place where I got about 10, 12 messages waiting to be listened. Still having trouble with Sermon Cloud. As soon as I get that up and good, I'll be letting you know about that one as well. But thank you for tuning me in, however you tune me in, and I just count it such a privilege to welcome you to the month of December. The month of December, when we celebrate the greatest event that ever happened in the history of the human race, and that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift from God coming to each and every one of us. We'll begin that message this morning, but before I do, I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial part of the broadcast. So a big thank you to Marie Vard, in memory and honor of her husband, Fran. She's from Dayton, Tennessee. A big thank you to Gay London in memory and honor of her husband, Dave, and she's from Greenville area. To Doug and Noreen Lane from the Sheridan area, thank you so much for your financial support. I need to say thank you also to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out the music for this morning. Always like to give an invitation to Shiloh Community Church to have a time of worship together, and I want to remind you of something that's coming up. It's going to be on December 8 and 9. It's out at our campground property that we have. It's a live nativity. And so we're looking forward to sharing the Christmas story with the audience once again. If you come at 6 o'clock to 6:30, you can drive your car through the thing that we have set up on both Saturday and Sunday. And then from 6:30 to 8:30, they'll have teams of horses out there and taking wagons through and loading people up and taking them through and listening to the Christmas story. The way you get to that is you come like you was coming to Shiloh Community Church, but when you get to Long Lake Road, instead of going west on Long Lake Road, you go east on Long Lake Road. And as soon as you get down to the first curve that begins ahead you towards Palo, you will see there's a road right there. There'll be a sign right there, and it gives you directions to our campground and to the live nativity. So I'll give you an invitation to that. Also an invitation to attend any one of the services that we're doing. At Shiloh, we have what we call a Saturday evening service at 6:30, Sunday morning at 9, contemporary service at 10:45, and in the Greenville campus, that's at the old Lutheran church up by the new McDonald's on M91, and that's 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. Well, a Merry Christmas to you and to your family as we start the Christmas's messages. Because today I'm thinking of sharing with you becoming new in our hope in God and in His Word. And what I'm thinking of is the idea this year I'm having in my mind and heart, because the Christmas story comes across in so many different ways. And one of the things I'm thinking about is not only when the Lord Jesus came, that little baby born in a manger so long ago. We'll get into all those stories. But I was thinking of this year along the line of, you know, when Christmas comes, we are thinking more of the birth of this one Jesus that was our salvation. And it surely is, and it was. And we need to put our focus upon that. But also, I love the idea of thinking about what Jesus brought with him. He brought us salvation, but he brought us some other activity things that can be a part of our life. And this morning, I'm going to share those things with you in our message time together. But before we get going, we better listen to a song that will kind of prepare our hearts and minds for the message this morning and kind of get us up to speed in our thinking and processing the message that God has for us. So I'll listen to this song, and then I'll be right back in just a few moments, okay? God bless you.
Strong in the strength of someone else, trusting a hand that never has failed, living a life of spiritual wealth, strong in the strength of someone else, strong in the strength of someone else. I'm strong in the strength of someone else, trusting a hand that never has failed, living a life of spiritual wealth, strong in the strength of someone else, of someone else.
Daniel was thrown in the den of the lion. Incredible odds said he could not win, but he found a strength that was stronger than the lion. It was making a church out of that lion's den.
David stepped out to battle Goliath. Incredible odds said he could not win, but he found a strength stronger than the giant. With a sling and a stone, David's battle was won.
Strong in the strength of someone else, trusting a hand that never has failed, living a life of spiritual wealth, strong in the strength of someone else, strong in the strength of someone else.
I'm living in a world that's filled with evil. Incredible odds say I cannot win, but I found a strength that is strong like a mountain, flowing through me from my Father's right hand.
Strong in the strength of someone else, trusting a hand that never has failed, living a life of spiritual wealth, strong in the strength of someone else, strong in the strength of someone else.
In sickness and health,
I'm strong in his strength.
For richer or poorer,
I'm strong in his strength.
Death cannot part us,
cause I'm strong in his strength. Strong in the strength of someone else, trusting a hand that never has failed, living a life of spiritual wealth, strong in the strength of someone else, strong in the strength of someone else,
strong in the strength of someone else, strong in the strength of someone else.
Well, that's exactly what I want to get across in the message this morning, folks. Strong in the strength of someone else. God's strength reaching into your life and my life. But before we get started in the message, I want to remember the listening audience once again. And we're just asking the Lord's blessing to be upon them. Father, as we come to the month of December, I'm thinking of the listening audience as we go through the Christmas story this year, that you'll be pleased to bless each person with a new and a fresh appreciation for what you have done for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. A gift that was better than any other gift that could have been given, the gift of your one and only Son. So, Father, as we come to you, I want to pray for the listening audience. I don't know what they've been going through this past week. There's been a lot of death again this week, and so some of them may have lost a loved one. And so I ask your special blessing of courage and strength to be upon them. Others, Father, may be going through some difficulty because of physical problems and pains and things that they're experiencing. I ask your special blessing to be their source of strength beyond themselves. I want to pray, Father, for those that may be having family problems, that you would minister to their family in a very special way and help them meet that need. Some, Father, just lonely and discouraged them. There just hasn't been anybody to visit them. Some are in the nursing homes, and we just ask, our Father, your hand of blessing to be upon each one. Some are not able to go to church anymore. They once were able to go, but this morning they're listening by the way of the radio, and I just ask that your special blessing would be upon them as well. Now, Father, we're going to be talking about your Son, the Lord Jesus. We're going to be looking into all that he brings to us, and many of the things are so beneficial for our life. And I just pray that you would just bless us with an open and receptive heart to receive the message that you have for us this morning. And I'll thank you, I'll praise you for that. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Well, God bless you for tuning us in this morning. And the message, as I mentioned, we're going to be picking up what all Jesus brought with him when he brought salvation to us. God shares with us that before Jesus came into the world, he gives us an idea of what our condition was in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. Remember now that before Jesus came, that at that time you were separated from God. You were excluded from the citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise. You were without hope and without God in the world. That's why Jesus had to come. That sounds like we were in a very helpless condition before Jesus came. And I don't know about you, but I believe in what I have experienced in my life, that there is no hope, that if there is no hope, it makes my life much harder to live. And you know, from my way of thinking today, as a believer in him, I would say when you're without hope and you're without God and trying to live in this difficult world that we're a part of, we need to realize that there's something coming to us that's very special through this one, the Lord Jesus. The Christian hope is not in himself or others, but in the God of hope. Listen to how God explains it in Romans chapter 15, verses 8 through 13. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show the truthfulness in order to confirm the message given by the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. Now listen carefully. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with the people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who rises to rule the Gentiles, to him with all the Gentiles hope. May the hope of God fill you with joy. May the hope of God fill you with peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you might abound in hope. You see, we were hopeless. And when Jesus came, one of the things that came with him was not only the promise of salvation, the provision for salvation, but he brought with him hope. You and I were without God, and we were without hope. So when Jesus came, he brings us God the Father very close to our lives, because when Jesus was on planet Earth, he was God, even though he was man, and he brings to us this hope that we didn't have before. I like to describe hope as the power to look beyond what you're going through today to a brighter day. Whatever you're going through this morning, hope helps us to look beyond today. I have watched what hope does for anyone who's going through a tough time. It may be a tough time financially. It may be a tough time spiritually. It may be a tough time physically. It may be a tough time emotionally. If there is hope of things getting better, how much easier it is to face the difficulty of the day, the circumstances of what you're going through. The hope I will be sharing about this week is the hope that is connected to our relationship with God, whether we are Jew or Gentile. The promise is the same for both the Jew and Gentile. So let the peace overflow within your hearts, the Bible says, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants to offer to each one of us as we see what salvation brings to us in this person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's so special to each and every one of us. So let me just think about for a moment something that I like to think of when I think of this baby Jesus. Not only did it bring the salvation we're talking about, but it gives us a new hope. A new hope as birth of Jesus provides for us in the fact that he gives us a fortress. In the Old Testament, the word fortress was used a lot to describe God. Like in Psalm 31:3, "For thou art my rock, my fortress. Therefore, for my God's sake, by thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Another one in Psalms 91:2, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust." The Lord in the Old Testament was, to those people, was described as a fortress, which was common in that time of history. And it was used as a metaphor to describe God as our defense and God as our protector. I believe verses like these to those people in that period of time of the Old Testament was tremendous in giving them a hope. When I think of what the birth of Jesus, God's Son, was to do, I love the way God shared with us in John 1:10-13. "He was in the world," Jesus was, "and the world was made through him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own," the Jewish people, "and his own received him not. But listen now, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but they were born by God. We become children of God because of what God has done to us." Thinking of the Old Testament thought that God was described as a fortress and how that gave the people hope in God, I believe that Jesus has brought with him, along with our salvation, the truth that he is our fortress. As such, he becomes our protector. It may be described in different ways today because we don't think about fortress in our day and age. But in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, I love the way God describes it to remind us that he is our protector. He is our provider in those kinds of things. "We who have fled to take hold of hope." When I believed in God, I wanted to take hold of the hope that he offered us to be greatly encouraged. "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure." That's what God gives us today. Jesus came into our world to be our anchor, to give us an anchor. I love that idea. That's a fortress for us. It isn't going to let us get out of control. An anchor holds the ship. And he's saying, Jesus has come into this world to become your anchor. When I think of Jesus as an anchor of my life, that gives me hope, because his anchor is firm and his anchor is secure. And that's for my everyday life, no matter whatever the storms of life may bring. I have an anchor that isn't going to allow the storms to overcome me. I can feel God as my anchor tugs me back to him. But so much greater than that, Jesus is an anchor for the soul. That gives me hope not only for life, but that gives me hope for eternity. I love the way that is shared in Colossians 1:27. God wants his people throughout the world to know the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ living in you, giving you the hope of glory. Jesus was born to be our anchor for life and for what life after death. What a hope he's given to us. What a hope he's trying to show us becomes ours as we trust in this one Jesus. You see, I believe Jesus is come to this point not only to provide for us the salvation, but I believe he provides for us everything that the people had and known as far as the word of God was promised to them. And those same promises I can claim today. But in Jesus Christ, I see that those promises are fulfilled. So that Jesus becomes so much more to me as an individual. He's my anchor. Don't you need an anchor today? I got to tell you, there's storms of life that's bigger than us. And when those storms of life that are bigger than us, I got to be honest with you, my heart, I believe when things happen that is bigger than us, we need somebody bigger than us to help us get through that. And when those storms of life are pushing against your life and causing you to be tossed to and fro, and you're wondering if you're going to have shipwreck of your life, so to speak, all of a sudden you feel a tug on the anchor. And that anchor is there. And that anchor is sure. And that anchor is steadfast. And that anchor isn't going to allow you to drift away. It's going to keep you where you need to be in your relationship with him. And I believe that's so important for us to get a hold of this morning. I love the idea of the salvation that Jesus brings to us. I needed that. I couldn't provide that for myself. By grace are you saved through faith, not that of the works, but the gift of God, is eternal life. And God is saying, you know, I've given you eternal life, but I want you to see the other benefits that there is as a believer in this one Jesus. As we focus our attention on Christmas this year, and this one Jesus brings to us life from God, the Father above, new hope that we can have that promotes courage for our life. That's a second thing I want us to think of. Not only is he a fortress, he gives us courage for life. In the Old Testament, this was the promise, and I today can claim this same promise. God's word is always alive and active in my life and your life. Psalm 130, verses 4 and 6. But with you there is forgiveness, God, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in the word, in his word, I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than a watchman for the morning, more than a watchman for the morning. When my wife was going over the devotions for each day, she says, was that record repeated twice? And I said, yeah. He's saying to the Old Testament people, you know what? Watchmen watch for the morning to come. Those that are on guard duty, they're waiting for morning. And he says the guard, when it becomes closer to morning, he's really waiting for morning to come. And yes, he's watching more than a watchman for the morning to come. It reminded me of my days of hunting when I would get up real early, long before daylight, and head to some place in the woods and sit there for hunting time. You know, one of the things that I learned about through the hunting experience was that every day is born just a little different than the day before, and that every day dies very silently and quietly. You know, I learned there's the sounds of the daylight and there's the sounds of the nighttime. And I used to watch for the morning to come. Sometimes there'd be some deer moving through, and I'd kind of do a little prayer, Lord, don't have them all pass by before I can see them. Come on, morning, come quickly. That's kind of what the watchman is saying. He's saying, you know what? God's word in the Old Testament brought courage to those people. And it can bring courage to you today. But remember, Jesus is the word that became flesh. And through Jesus' ministry, we see his courage that he had. And he was also an encourager. That's God's word working in your life and my life. Whatever we might face in our life, our courage rests in the person of Jesus. And in his life, and his death, and his burial, and his resurrection, and his ascension to Christ, of Christ to God the Father, I believe Christ's victory is the foundation for our courage. And it's also is what gives us the ability to have a victorious life. Because Jesus was victorious, we have that privilege. I'm not knocking the generation of our day, folks, but you have to agree with me, our world is sure getting to be a strange place to live in when you want to do what is right. In our generation today, I believe there is so much need for courage. I'm reminded we do not have enough courage in ourselves to face the world of doubt. There's not only a world of doubt, there's a world where there's way too much hate, a world where there's so much selfishness, a world where God is often left out of the thinking process of life and mankind. I refer to this as God being put on the back burner of our minds. It is in this world that Jesus asks us to be the light of the world and to let our light shine so others can see the courage that we have to live in this day and age that we're a part of. I love what Jesus was born and brought to us, salvation. Having our eyes of your heart enlightened that you may know what is your hope to which he has called you, God tells us, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance to the saints and in the saints, and what is his immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of that great might that he worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. For above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name is the name of this one Jesus, not only in this age, but in every age to come. Jesus will put everything under his feet. He is the head of the church. God is reminding us of this tremendous power, this tremendous courage that Jesus had. As I watch his life, and as I listen to him through the scripture of what he accomplished in that short period of time of a little over 3 years, I'm reminded of his courage. I'm reminded of his courage that he was willing to leave heaven and all the glory that he had with the Father. He was willing to become one of us humans. He was willing to go through what we go through in our life in order to be an encouragement to us. And I believe as I look at the life of the Lord Jesus and see how he faced his world, it gives me courage. It should give you courage to realize he was in this world and it wasn't the best place to live when he was here, but he was victorious. And that victory is something he wants to offer to each one of us. Because he was victorious, that gives us hope. That in this one Jesus, he brings us victory for our lives. That all came with that Christmas baby. That all came as we see as he grows and as we see his life being opened up before us in the scripture. We recognized one of the things that came from Christmas was he is our fortress. One of the things that came with this one baby Jesus from Chris for Christmas is he's our courage. And we'll come back and do another one in just a few moments. But I got to have us listen to a song and just take a little break for a moment. But this song is going to be an encouragement for us to understand that God wants to go to work this way in each one of our lives to help us to understand his blessing upon us. So let's listen into the song and I'll be right back in just a few moments.
There's still room at the cross for another heavy burden to be left by a weary passerby. There's still hope for your cause, for a loving God is waiting to restore to you the joy you felt inside. There's still time to decide that the Father really loves you and is true. He'll never leave your side. What you've heard, you can believe his word. There's still room, there's
word has been revealed for all to hear. Jesus loves you, he cares. So when the storms of life are drawing near, he your heartache will share. There's still room at the cross for another heavy burden to be left by a weary passerby. There's still hope for your cause, for a loving God is waiting to restore to you the joy you felt inside. There's still time to decide that the Father really loves you and is true. He'll never leave your side. No matter what you've heard, you can't believe his word. There's still room, there's still hope, there's still time.
You may wonder if the Lord is looking on. Can he comfort my heart? There's room for your burden at the cross.
Lay it down where you are. There's still room at the cross for another heavy burden to be left by a weary passerby. There's still hope for your cause, for a loving God is waiting to restore to you the joy you felt inside. There's still time to decide that the Father really loves you and it's true. He'll never leave your side. No matter what you've heard, you can believe his word. There's still room, there's still hope, there's still time. Burden to be left by a weary passerby. There's still hope for your cause, for a loving God is waiting to restore to you the joy you felt inside. There's still time to decide that the Father really loves you and it's true. He'll never leave your side. No matter what you've heard, word. There's still room, there's still hope, there's still time. No matter what you've heard, you can believe his word. There's still room, there's still hope, there's still time.
I love that encouragement to you this morning. There's still time, there's still room. At the cross, in God's heart, there's still room for you. In God's love, there's still room for you. And it's not only just room for you as far as your salvation is concerned, but God is reminding us he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be your fortress, your place of protection. He sent the Lord Jesus to be your encourager. He wants to give you the courage to live the way that you can live with him and what he has provided for you. He has brought so much with him. And one of the things I want us to think about right now for a few moments is he's brought with us some reinforcement for our life. Reinforcement is good, folks. Sometimes you need reinforcement. Sometimes that reinforcement can be the promises of God's word to your life. All of those promises he will fulfill. Sometimes it is God uses another person to give you reinforcement in your life, to give you strength beyond yourself. But sometimes it's the Lord Jesus himself. He becomes the reinforcement of our life. When I think about things being reinforced, I think about cement. When they pour cement, sometimes they use wires, sometimes they use rods. It's to make it a little stronger. It's to hold it together a little better. Reinforcement that comes. And when you think about your own individual life, I think there's times where we realize we need that kind of reinforcement. I love the promise that God gave to the Old Testament folks that didn't have the knowledge yet of who the Lord Jesus was and what he was coming to do for all mankind. But it's the same promise in Isaiah that I can claim for the difficult times in my life. But this is one of my favorite when it comes to reinforcement to your life. He gives power to the weak, it says in Isaiah 40:29-31. And to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, now listen, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Boy, that's a promise from the Old Testament that was given to them. And that promise is the same to us today. But when I listen to what he's saying he's going to do for the people, I find that when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he brought us the salvation, which I'm so grateful for. But he's saying, I'm bringing to you reinforcement for your life. I'm going to bring to you some strength that you don't know about. And I want to show you that in weakness can be a blessing as it draws you to me and allows me to go to work in your life, Jesus is saying. I love it. The one time that was shared so clearly was with the Apostle Paul. In probably one of the weakest times in his walk with God and his ministry, he felt this thing was hindering his ministry that he had for Jesus, something he wanted to overcome in his life, and he hadn't been able to overcome it. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10, concerning this thing, he said, I pleaded, and I love that way, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And the Lord said to me, Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Did you hear that? Jesus came to give us his strength. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that God wants to use in your life and my life through his Son, the Lord Jesus. It's power beyond ourselves. I love the way Paul responded to that. Therefore, most gladly, will I rather boast in my infirmities, my weaknesses, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. It's called strength, and it's called power. Therefore, Paul said, I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in reproach, in needs, being in need, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, it was Jesus that said that to Paul. My grace is sufficient, Paul. This same Jesus is saying that to you and I today. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace can give you the strength that you need. You see, we always try to be so strong. And God is saying when we admit our weaknesses, when we have come to the realization that we can't do it all. Remember I said just a few moments ago, there's some things that's going to happen in your life that is bigger than you. And when these things happen in your life that is bigger than you, you need somebody bigger than you to help you get through that. That's what God's talking about here through his Son. I sent my Son who is much bigger than you. And I want you to know that as you go through these difficult times, when you feel weak, just cry out to God like Paul did. And God's going to say to you, you know what? My grace is sufficient. In your weakness, you're going to find my strength. But if we think we can always do it on our own, and we don't admit our weakness, then we don't find that strength that he has offered to us. You see, I believe Jesus is our reinforcement for life. He's going to give us the strength beyond ourselves to be able to handle the things that are coming our way. My grace is sufficient for you. When I'm weak, I become strong through God's power that is resting upon me. Remember when Jesus was born, he came with salvation to all those who believe. He gives the forgiveness of sin, and that is wonderful. But for me to live my daily life with as a forgiven individual, all the things that I'm going to face in my life, he said, I want you to know that I'm going to give you some reinforcement in your life for those difficult times that you find yourself going through. I'm going to be your source of reinforcement. In my devotion through the week, I'm a public figure on Facebook. My devotions, if you know how to use a computer and you're on Facebook, well, you can just search for my name, Pastor Ken Harger, and it brings you up to my daily devotion that I do. And for that daily devotion that I do on Facebook, I found a picture that I wanted to illustrate this thought that I'm sharing with you now about God being your reinforcement, about God giving you strength beyond yourself, about God saying that his grace is sufficient for you. I found a picture of a lady. She's in a wheelchair. She's up in years. She's got a Bible in her hand, and she's reading. And what she's reading is this: And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I talk about the things that is ahead of us, to some of us, we're up in those years now where we're not too sure how things are going to go the rest of our time. We've lived a whole lot more than we have to live. And we realize that what could be ahead, I'm glad that we don't know. But, you know, we see folks, it may be a wheelchair. It may be a nursing home. It may be that we're set aside and we're going through some really difficult times. It is good to know whatever the storms of your life are. It is good to know that there is reinforcement. Whatever it is that you're going through today is reinforced by Jesus Christ himself. He came into this world to be your source of strength when you find yourself in weakness. And he wants to do that for you. That's who he is. That's what he came to accomplish in each of our individual life. And just like it was individual for Paul, this same promise is individual for you. So whatever listening audience you're going through this morning, God is saying to you, I want you to know, my grace is sufficient. Sometimes that's the only thing we can hang on to is God's grace. But I want you to know, he's saying, in your weakness, you're going to find my strength. And I can tell you, for the things that I've gone through in my life that was bigger than I am, the things I could have never handled on my own, when I admitted I was weak and needed his help, I've come to this conclusion that God never, never refuses a cry for help. As we cry out to him, I think of Peter walking on the water. He did take a few steps, and the storm was really fierce. And then all of a sudden, he took his eyes off from Jesus, and he began to listen to the storm, and he seen the storm, and he began to sink, and he cried out, Save me, help me. Sometimes that's all we can cry out. Help me, Lord. I want you to know, this one Jesus loves you so much that he's there to help you through that difficult time of your life. Got another thought that goes right along with this. He not only your reinforcement, but he's come to be your sympathizer. Now, sometimes we say we don't want sympathy, but that's a lie. That's why we tell the pains we got. I remember in my earlier years of life, I don't know how often I would end up hitting my finger with a hammer. I had more black under my thumbnail through the years than I think the average person has. And you know, one of the things I see happen as that is when I would be doing a wedding, you know, they'd have to sign the marriage license and I'd be holding the paper to show them where to sign. And then they would see my blackened fingernail from being hit. And they said, oh, does that hurt? You know, I didn't mind that sympathy. And be honest now, folks, we love some sympathy once in a while. Sometimes we want to know that somebody really does care. And I love what I get to share with you for the remainder of the time that we have in the idea of understanding God's great sympathy to us. And here's what he's telling us. Becoming new in our hope as we focus our attention upon Christmas this year and all that Jesus has brought with him. I'm going to use the word Jesus, the Comforter, for whatever we're going through in our lifetime. Let me first share with you the statement I make at funerals. I believe it was God's intent from the beginning of time that whatever you went through in your life and you received some comfort from God, when you was to see someone else going through a similar experience, I believe it was God's intent and still is God's intent that you and I would reach out and be a source of comfort to them. That's why we need to understand. I thank God that he gave us his one and only son to become one of us as to provide a way for us to come to know God through his son, the Lord Jesus, and to receive the forgiveness of sin and the hope of eternal life. But I also thank God that when Jesus was born into our world, he not only invaded our world, but he also invaded our individual lives. And he invades our individual life with comfort. And he invades our individual life with sympathy. He reaches to you, and he reaches to me, just like he reached to Paul. Let me share some promise that God gives us in the book of Hebrews about this one, Jesus. I love the way it is stated in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession or confession of faith. Hang on to this faith that you have. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Remember, admit you got weaknesses. And Jesus will sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who in every respect has been tested as we were and are. And yet he was without sin. So in view of that, God's saying, let us therefore approach the throne of God with boldness, knowing that Jesus understands, knowing that Jesus cares, that Jesus is the one that can help us to understand what we need in our individual life. Let us therefore come to the throne of grace boldly, that we may receive mercy, and we might find grace to help in our time of need. Are you in a time of need this morning? If you're in a time of need this morning, Jesus is saying to you, I sympathize with what you're going through. You know why he can do that? Because he took upon human flesh. And when he took upon human flesh, he became one of us. And when Jesus became one of us, he went through the things that we've gone through. He knows what it is to be disappointed. He knows what it is to be betrayed. He knows what it is to be sick, to have tired times. Often he fell asleep. He knows what it is not to be believed. And he's reminding us. Those things that he experienced on planet Earth is like what the things you and I experience on planet Earth in our journey of life, just like he went through the journey of life from birth to death. He wants us to know, I love the word sympathy, to feel or express sympathy. Because Jesus came to this earth, he was so born and lived and died and rose again, but he's reminding us that was his journey of life. And it's the same journey that you and I are on. And so he's telling us that Jesus had no sin, but him who had no sin became sin for you and I. That's why we have the salvation. But he understands what you're going through, and he has sympathy for you in what you're going through in your individual life. And he wants you to come to him knowing that he understands, knowing that he's going to be sympathetic towards you. He wants you to come to him and receive what he has to offer. There's another verse which I'd like to close with in 2 Thessalonians 2:16-17. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself, I love that, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope, through grace comfort your hearts and establish them into every good work. Just think, folks. This great and mighty God, this one that became flesh for you, this one that became flesh for me, this great and mighty God says, I love you, but more than the fact that I love you, I want you to know that from you, from me to you, I'm going to give you sympathy and encouragement. God is the God of the individual. In our world, we've become a number. But to God, he knows us by name, and he loves us as an individual. And that love he does for us is why he's brought so many things to add to your life, because he wants you to have victory. So Christmas this year is going to be so much greater when we realize that God has done something so powerful for each and every one of us. As I go on my way, I just want to remind you what this song is going to share, that God's faithfulness is great to you. God's faithfulness is great to me. God bless you. Get ready for a Merry Christmas.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow. Sin and a peace that endures.